God has to pull up a vine and destroy it because it has become unfruitful before it is destroyed. He will find every last soul that belongs to Him from that vine. And He will save them. And He will not miss even one.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
I find myself with 1 week sandwiched in between Veterans Day and Thanksgiving season. And so I return to my project, my hope, to one day have preached a sermon from all 150 of the Psalms. I am today up to Psalm 75, which needs I need to live to be 126 to finish this at my present pace. This psalm that Mark read for us is designated as a psalm of Asaph. Now that can mean a few different things. Asaph was the man whom David appointed to be what we would call worship minister for the nation of Israel. He wrote songs, he arranged the musical portions, he led songs, he led the musical worship of the nation of Israel in the temple service. The post became somewhat hereditary, and the sons of Asaph sometimes wrote psalms, and they would designate them as the sons of Asaph. And sometimes they just went ahead and used the name Asaph, and it continued from generation to generation, even though the current generation holder's name might not be Asaph. The psalm would go down as one written by Asaph. I believe that that is the case with the 75th psalm. There are several clues in there, but the one that I will cite for you is this. He gets down to that point where he says, "It is the Lord who puts some down and exalts others." And his concern is about the succession of kings in Israel. And they have had bad kings as the years went on, and they have had worse kings as the years went on, and they have had some absolutely horrible kings as the years went on. And every once in a while you get your Hezekiah, you get your Josiah, but you had so many bad ones. And how can it be with God on His throne in heaven that this guy ever got to the throne of God's chosen people on earth? That seems to be the question that lies behind this psalm. One more thing from the heading. It says it is to the tune of Al-Tasheph. We don't know what that tune was like or what the words to that song were, but we do know a little bit about the song. Now, if I wrote a new set of lyrics and I said, "Sing it to the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star," you would all be able to come up with a tune and sing it. That's what this was, a familiar tune. And we learn from the prophets, particularly Isaiah, but a little bit elsewhere, and then even more from the commentaries that were written by the rabbis in the Old Testament days, that this tune, Al-Tasheph, is the tune to the traditional grape harvest song. when people were cutting off those big old clusters full of grapes and loading them into baskets and hauling them to the press, this was the song that they would sing. And the English translation of that Hebrew phrase is, do not destroy. Now it always strikes me, the Old Testament is immersed in Eastern thought, and we are Western people. We would have said it differently. What it means is, don't lose any good grapes. Don't destroy any good grapes. We would have just said, be sure you get all the good grapes. But their thought was, don't destroy any that shouldn't be destroyed. Don't destroy any good grapes. So they would sing this song, and the gist was this. Maybe there would be a cluster that looked like rotten grapes. Well, you couldn't just throw that thing away until you had sorted through it. There might be a good grape or two in there, and you wanted those. Maybe when people were carrying the big baskets, some grapes fell to the ground and the kids had to come behind the carriers and search for good grapes that got dropped because you didn't want to lose any good grapes. Maybe there was a vine that had just done its thing and was done and needed to be uprooted and pulled out before the next season. But before you took that thing and burned it, you were going to check it over because there might be a grape or three on there that could be added to the tally. And you sang this song to emphasize as you worked that you were going to get all the good grapes that there were to get. And if you were the kind of guy who might leave some behind, you only left them so that the poor could come into the field after you and comb what you had left and rescue the last of the good grapes. But the point of the song was this. Get them all. Leave no good grape to perish. Now, understanding these things about the background of the psalm, because I don't believe that that tune was selected accidentally or incidentally, let's look at the actual questions that are asked in this psalm. There's a series of them, and we understand the answer to each one. You will be able to answer each question. Who selects appointed times? That is, times of significant change, times of significant accomplishment, times of significant destruction, maybe the end of one era, the beginning of another, the smashing up of one government structure, the rising of a new one in its place. Who appoints these significant times? And the answer is, well, God does. God does. He tells us this. Even calamity, the prophet Amos says, do you think there is calamity in the city and my hand is not in it? God selects these appointed times. Who judges the nations of the earth with equity? Well, we know who. Who does that? God. You can speak louder. God. God does that. Who establishes the pillars, that is, provides that stability that we so often take for granted so that even in the midst of chaos there is a rock on which we may stand? Who establishes the pillars? God does. Who brings the arrogant and the haughty to nothing in the end? Who does that? And perhaps most importantly, who puts down one and exalts another? Well, before you answer it, make sure we know. Puts down what? Exalts what? Are we just talking about which piece of china goes on the top shelf and what goes in the junk drawer? No. Talking about people in authority. Who removes one from authority? and puts another in his place? And the answer is, God does. Who says that it's time for the end of one nation and the rise of another? You know, the book of Acts says that God appoints the times and habitations of all nations, and he appoints them for his purposes so that we might find him and come to know his plan. Who puts down one and exalts another? And the answer is God. Now, many of you are probably way ahead of me. We stand at what should be the end of a big national election season and isn't quite yet. The election was held on November the 3rd, and here we are. It looks like the forecasted, the projected president-elect is Joe Biden. And the president going out is Donald Trump. People cared about this election. Yeah, they turned out in record numbers, not just because we have more people than we did before, but they turned out a record percentage of our population voted as, well, the loser, the projected loser, Donald Trump, received more votes than any other presidential candidate in history except for the projected winner, Joe Biden. People cared about this election. And there was a lot of angst and there was a lot of hostility, and we still have these legal challenges and recounts and things to go through, but I'm going to tell you something. I want to tell you something about Donald Trump and Joe Biden at the same time. They are both fallen, sinful, profoundly flawed men, just like the rest of us. Because we live in a fallen, sinful, profoundly flawed world of which we are all products. And this is the reason that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to do something about it. But back to Donald and Joe for just a moment. If one or the other of them is, as their critics claim, the Antichrist of this age, and I kind of doubt it, but you know, if you listen to one side or you listen to the other, one of these men or both of these men are the perfect combinations of Adolf Hitler, Simon Legree, and Attila the Hun, all just kind of rolled up together, and I doubt that of either man. But if one of these men is the Antichrist of this age, let me tell you what is true. God has mixed a cup of wrath, and the wicked must drink it to its dregs, and God will judge the wicked. And that is not my lookout. Thank God! I don't want to be the judge. And if you have any sense, you don't want to be the judge either. Praise God that he will, with perfect justice and complete knowledge, judge the wicked. But more importantly, God will save every good grape. Every soul, imperfect as we are at this moment, that loves him, that puts their trust in him, that has their hope in his Son, Jesus Christ, God will not overlook one. God will not lose any. God will gather into the harvest every good grape. If he has to sort through the rotten bunches to find one good grape, he will do it. If he has to scour the ground to find the people who fell through the cracks in the basket of this world's authority, who were not seen or noticed or cared about and fell to the ground, he will do it. And if God has to pull up a vine and destroy it because it has become unfruitful, before it is destroyed, he will find every last soul that belongs to him from that vine, and he will save them, and he will not miss even one. This God will do in our times. This God will do in the midst of this post-election quandrum season, through the legal challenges, through the recounts, through the riots, through the name-calling, whatever else may come, I advise you to set aside malice and fear and confusion, because God will save all good grapes, no matter who is president. And how many of you, even if belatedly, come to realize that there is no salvation in Washington, D.C.? That's kind of an understatement, isn't it? There's no salvation in Washington, D.C. There's no salvation in the White House. There's no salvation in the House of Representatives. There's no salvation in the Senate. There's no salvation in the Supreme Court. There's no salvation in the political system. There has been no salvation for us in Donald Trump. There will be no salvation for us if this is the final determination in Joe Biden. There is one name and only one by which men are saved, and it is Jesus Christ. Amen? And God will not miss one soul that trusts him. And whoever occupies the White House will serve God's purposes, whether he wants to or not. He will. It cannot, or come the day, she will. It cannot be helped. Only one question of significance remains. If God will save all his own, are you one of his own? And if you can't answer that with a sure and certain yes, then let's forget about the election for a while and do something about this and make sure that our soul belongs to God.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.